Today's case is about the pre-existing duty rule. And before we jump into our case, I just want to do a quick review of what that rule is. The basic gist of the rule is, if you promise to do something or give something that you've already promised in a previous contract, then that is not going to count as consideration. And just as a quick example, let's say I owe you $1,000, but I don't want to actually pay that full $1,000. So we make an agreement for me to only pay $500. And after I pay you, you sue me in court for breach of contract for the remaining $500. In that instance, you would win, and I would still owe you $500 because that second agreement that we made to only pay the $500 lacked consideration. I had a pre-existing duty to already pay the full $1,000. Okay, let's jump into our case. Today's case is Angel v. Murray, and it took place in the Supreme Court of Rhode Island in 1974. And the purpose of this case is to see how judges apply the pre-existing duty rule in situations where the parties run into unanticipated difficulties. So let's go into the facts. First, we've got the Newport, Rhode Island City Council. I'm just going to call them the City Council. And it was actually, I think it was a representative of the City Council, but forget that for now. And then there's this guy named Mayor, and he owns a garbage company. And I'm just going to call him the Garbage Man. And the garbage man, he had been doing garbage collection for the city for a really long time. And he always did it in these 5-year contracts. And he'd been doing it for like 20 years. And in March 1964, he entered into a new contract with the city, a new 5-year contract. And he was going to get paid $137,000 per year for collecting the city garbage. And then in June 1967, the garbage man said that he actually needed another $10,000 per year from the city council to keep doing the garbage collecting. And here's the reason why he asked for this. For the past 20 years, there had been about 20 to 25 new dwelling units or new homes per year showing up in Newport. But in that year, there had been over 400 new units. And so this new influx of residents was really costing the garbage man. And they were having a hard time keeping up with all the garbage collection. And so the city council, they eventually agreed and they said, sure, we'll pay you the $10,000 for that year. And then a year later, the garbage man made the same request the following year. And the city council again agreed to give him another $10,000 that year. But now the city council, they actually think that $20,000 that was given to the garbage man should not have been given to him. They want their money back. And just to explain how this happened, so at first, the city council who gave the garbage man the $10,000, it was just like this financial representative, I think, for the city council. And so he's the one who gave him the money, but now the citizens, like, they find out about this and they're upset for whatever reason, and so they're saying they want the $20,000 back. So that's how that happened. Okay, let's talk about the arguments. The city council is arguing, basically, it's a pre-existing duty rule. Just a classic situation where someone's trying to modify the contract halfway through, saying that they need more money, and it's too late. They've already promised to do what the original agreement said, and they're not offering anything new for more money. So this is just a gift and not a contract. Now, the garbage man is saying, well, okay, yeah, I get that, but this 400 units thing, this was totally unforeseen. There's no way, neither side of the contract had any idea that there are going to be 400 new units coming in to the city, and the reason why I'm asking for this extra money was totally legitimate and reasonable given the circumstances. Okay, so now let's pretend that you're the judge and you have to decide about whether or not you're going to apply the pre-existing duty rule. If you're in our Pod Talk group, go ahead and leave a comment and tell me what your ruling is. Let's talk about how the judge ruled. The judge said that the pre-existing duty rule will not be applied in this case. And let's talk about what's going on here. So he said he talked about the pre-existing duty rule for a while and some of its history. And he talks about how courts in the past have been reluctant to apply the rule in situations like this where both sides didn't foresee this kind of change in circumstances that came up. And he says that, you know, this case right here with the garbage man is very different with the Alaska Packers case. In the Alaska Packers case, those fishermen, those workers, they were trying to take advantage of the fishing business. Whereas a situation like this, this was a totally legitimate, unforeseen change in circumstances. And then you also talked a little bit about how attitudes on this rule are changing in the courts, and that the judges, you know, as time goes on, are being less and less strict about applying this rule in every situation. And this goes back to one of our very first lectures talking about the common law, how the common law can change and adapt over time. And this is a good example of that. He also talks about how the second restatement on the law of contracts, and that's just kind of like a model law, body of contract law that's put out there by a bunch of like scholars and academics and judges and stuff, where judges will often reference it as kind of a model standard for some of their rulings. But anyway, so in this second restatement, they say we like the rule that the pre-existing duty rule that this second restatement comes up with, and here's what that rule is. They say that you don't have to apply the pre-existing duty rule when these requirements are met, and there are three of them. And here's the first one. First, the promise modifying the contract was made before the contract was completed on either side. Okay? And then the second requirement is the circumstances that caused the parties to make a new agreement were unanticipated by either side. And three, the modification that's being asked for is, quote, fair and equitable, end quote. And then one last requirement actually is it needs to be voluntary, the agreement. But that's always sort of assumed when it comes to contracts. Okay, so with those three rules in mind, let's do what the judge did. He applied those requirements to the situation at hand. And I'm going to summarize that. So applying that first requirement that the contract was modified before the contract was completed on either side. The judge said, yep, that's obviously true. The modification happened in 1967, 1968. So that was before the contract was done with. Two, the circumstances that caused the new agreement, like it was totally unforeseen. And in this case, yes, the 400 plus new units, he said that it was clearly unanticipated by either party from what he could tell in the evidence, that no one saw this coming. And then the third requirement, the fair and equitable requirement, he said that asking for an extra $10,000 seemed very reasonable to him. And I'm assuming it's because, you know, that seems pretty in proportion with the $137,000 amount in the contract. You know, it's less than 10% increase. So the judge said, look, based on this more modern rule from the restatement, these facts fit that really well. And so I am going to enforce this modified contract, and the garbage man is going to get his extra $20,000. Okay, so let's talk about this a little bit. This is kind of a little bit different than what we've done in the past, where the judge is kind of going down a different direction than what precedent has may have taken him otherwise. So the way the judge ruled in this case probably seems really reasonable, at least on its face. And just using your common sense seems pretty fair. And this may be somewhat in contrast to what we saw with Levine versus Blumenthal. And in that case, if you remember, is where the people, they rented out the retail space for a couple years, and they agreed that the second year they wouldn't pay for the price increase, but then the judge forced them to pay for it anyway. So in that case, the judge seemed pretty strict about applying that pre-existing duty rule. And that was back in the 1930s. And this is sort of a good example of two different things. It's a good example of how the common law can change over time. And second, it's a good example of something we call rules versus standards. And here's the difference between those two. The basic idea is that rules are meant to be very clear-cut, more rigid, clean, relatively simple to follow, and predictable. While standards tend to be much more ambiguous and loose and give a lot more discretion to the judge. You know, standards, they just give you this general guideline, but how you apply that guideline in a particular case is more unclear. And Again, in more practical terms, standards give judges much more room for discretion. It gives judges the freedom to look at the particular circumstances of a case, look at the facts, and then make a judgment based on what she thinks is reasonable. So while rules, on the other hand, are much more strict, the judge has much less wiggle room. So for example, with the pre-existing duty rule, it says if there's no additional consideration when you make this contract modification, then that modification is not going to be binding. End of story. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter what kind of hard times you've fallen on, how legitimate the need was for the modification. Doesn't matter. Apply that rule. And so this rules versus standards debate is probably the biggest or at least most common debate that goes on between legal scholars and judges and commentators. I can't even attempt to really give a fair overview of it in this episode, so I won't try to do that. I just wanted to point it out and to highlight the principle, because you're going to see this tension again and again happen as we study more cases. So that's all I'm going to cover for this case. I will talk to you next time.